you haven't already picked up, we have our order of service now on a new web page at the beginning of our website. So if you want the full service and you haven't been able to locate that, if you go back up to the top of the web page, then you'll find our new online service page which has the service on it. But one of the issues is this week that the sound was quite faint on the sermon videos, and so I'm just re-recording this in audio for those that weren't able to pick up most of the sound on the videos, and hopefully we'll have sorted it out by next week. So I'll read again the passage from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25 and reading through to verse 34. It's entitled, "Do Not Worry." "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So let's just pray as we come to God's word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you are able to use this word to speak into our lives and into our situations. And we pray that you would do that now. But Lord, recognising that we have a responsibility too, Lord, to be open to receive from you and to be those that not just hear your word, but put it into practice too. And so, Lord, we pray that you will just give an openness now as we come to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you look at maybe paintings and sometimes pictures around you on the walls or in different albums or different places, you might recognise that often pictures have a foreground image and also a background image. So if you're taking a picture of somebody on holiday, often you'll have a nice scenery in the background and the person in the foreground. So there's one overall picture, but two aspects, a foreground and a background. This week I read helpfully about somebody speaking about our lives, that like those pictures and paintings, often our lives can have both a foreground and a background. The foreground are the things that are right in front of us, those things that we easily focus upon, the things that are seen. And in this passage, Jesus speaks about food and drink and clothes. Those are the foreground things that Jesus speaks of. I guess for most of us at the moment, it's COVID-19. That's at the foreground of our lives and our thinking. The physical and the emotional and the economic impact, both as individuals, but also as a country and internationally. We think about it not just for the present, but what the future impact on our lives will be. But there's also a background element to our lives. Those unseen spiritual realms, often only seen through the eyes of faith. That background was there in Jesus' day and is still there for us today. Two aspects, a foreground and a background, both part of our one life. As Jesus' followers, that background of God and those spiritual realms are kind of interconnected with our daily kind of foreground lives. But the question is, where do we put our focus? we look at a picture hanging on a wall and there's a foreground and a background, our eyes are probably drawn to one or the other. So where do we put our focus in life? Do we put our focus on the foreground or on the background? And how does that background, that unseen, often unseen spiritual reality, how does that impact on the foreground of our lives? You see, it's very easy to focus on the foreground. It seems that is what Jesus were doing, what people were doing in Jesus's day. And I want to say that for most of us, the foreground is the thing that we focus upon. That's our default position. But like many of us might be drawn in a picture to the foreground, we're drawn naturally to the foreground of things that are happening in our lives. And without factoring in the background reality, then the foreground things are the things that often provoke worry within us. But if we look at the passage, it's interesting that Jesus doesn't dismiss the foreground issues. In fact, if you look in verses 31 onwards, certainly 31 verse through to verse 33, Jesus acknowledges that his followers will face the same pressures as anybody else. So Jesus doesn't dismiss the foreground, but what he does do three times is call us not to worry about such things. I think it's important to say at this point that worry isn't the same as having care or concern, either care or concern for ourselves or for others. In fact, Jesus encourages us, doesn't he, to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't do everything we can to stay safe. We should care about ourselves. We should care about ourselves physically and emotionally and spiritually. We should care about our own safety and the safety of others, those that we love and those around us. And I also want to say that at times it's very easy to get overburdened with life, over anxious, and sometimes we do need to seek additional professional help, and we should do that. But when do those cares and concerns tip over to a place of worry? The original word for worry denotes becoming over concerned or preoccupied, being distracted by the things that worry us. If you're anything like me, you'll know that you're in a place of worry when our usual sleep patterns get disrupted. Sometimes when we're in that place of worry and we look ahead to the future, we kind of get that sense of being overwhelmed by it. Sometimes worry is a control issue. We're trying to control something that is uncontrollable. And then when we feel that we can't control it, we begin to worry about it. For me, often, I find myself worrying about potential things that might happen in the future. And actually, it distracts me from living and my focus on the present. We know, don't we, that worrying doesn't add anything to the issue. It doesn't change the situation. Jesus says, who can add even a single hour to their life? But I want to say that it's incredibly hard not to worry. Just this week, I received a text from somebody whose granddaughter works in an intensive care unit. And she said in the text, it's incredibly hard not to worry. And she's right, it is really hard not to worry. It feels like worry is almost built into our DNA as human beings. Particularly in the culture in which we live, we get used to being able to control things, and when we can't control them, we then move on to a place of worrying about them. Which is why I think it's really important that we understand what Jesus is teaching us here. Jesus isn't saying that we are being called to dig deeper within ourselves, to muster up the mettle to stop worrying. What I think Jesus is calling us to do is to be more aware, to factor in the background that we have as followers of Jesus. If you look at verse 26 of our reading, you'll see that that is what Jesus does himself. He brings the foreground into view, but with a background perspective. He looks at the foreground realities of life, but from a background perspective. For me, one of the helpful translations at the beginning of verse 26, the NIV translates the word as look, but I think a better word is other translations, which translate them as consider. When we find ourselves in that place of worry, we're called to stop and to consider. To consider and to factor in the background story. To bring this background to the foreground of our lives. To seek first God's kingdom, his righteousness. Or to put another way, to consider God and his big story, that background context of our lives. And it's maybe helpful to just stop for a moment and to consider that overarching story of Scripture. If you've got access to the online service and you're able to scroll down, you might see that there is a short, I think it's about a 3-minute clip from something called the Bible course. So basically it's a course that over 8 sessions explores in detail the Bible, the biblical story. And we're going to be looking at that, if you're a member of Harrogate Baptist Church, when we get back together, when we gather back in our breakfast church, we're going to be looking at these 8 sessions. But I have just pulled out just a 3-minute video of the overarching biblical story. So if you're able to stop this recording and just go and have a look at that for a few minutes, it might be helpful just to put the rest of the talk into some sort of context. But when we read the Bible, when we apply it to our lives, we begin to see life in the light of God. That is what we see all the way through Scripture and all the way through history. People in the Bible, Christians down through the ages, reframing their lives through the lens of God and Scripture, picking up God's promises, living as Jesus lived. And for me, that is why it's important to spend time reading Scripture. And actually, unless we're a frontline worker, we've probably got more time than we'll have ever had to get into the habit of regularly reading the Bible. As the church scattered at the moment very much, this is one of the ways that we will sustain faith. It's how we bring the background to influence the foreground in life generally, but particularly at the moment, how we bring the background to influence the foreground of our lives. And I want to say that one of the most profitable ways of reading Scripture is regularly, because as we do that, we're continually feeding ourselves, we're continually reminding ourselves who God is, reminding ourselves of his story, the Bible story, and how it might apply to our lives. As we read Scripture, we're actively bringing the background into the foreground. You know, it's not always immediately obvious when we read a Bible passage how it might apply to our own lives and our own situations, that present context foreground that we find ourselves in. But I want to say that as we continually read Scripture, as we faithfully continue to read the Bible, then actually God uses it to speak truth into our lives. And if you're not sure where to start in reading the Scripture, can I suggest that maybe you take 4 or 5 psalms a day and read the psalms in that way. Or maybe we can sit down and read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the account of Jesus's life. If we read a chapter a day, it might take us roughly about 3 months to read all the Gospels, which might sound like a long time, but actually it is helping us to bring that background to the foreground. But just moving back to the passage, as we think about Jesus's call not to worry, I want to say that there are 4 things that we can actively do which are contained in this passage to help us in the call not to worry. First of all, we can get to know God and who he is. you look at the Message translation, which in this version, verse 32, it talks about the pagans. Other translations talk about the Gentiles, but if you look at the Message, it speaks about people who don't know God and the way that he works. If we are to worry less, we need to know more about God, and in particular the way that he works, and bring that into the foreground and to consider that in our lives. You see, as we reflect on history, and particularly as we reflect on the story of God, we're reminded that history isn't kind of aimlessly meandering along, but actually is all guided by God. As we read scripture, we see promises fulfilled. We see God's faithful presence with his people. As we were reminded in the opening worship this morning, we were reminded that even in exile, when people found themselves, God's people found themselves in new and strange circumstances, God's presence was still there with them. God's love and his faithfulness are common threads that have sustained God's people right from the very beginning, and which faithfully continues to sustain us today. As we bring the background into our foreground, we remind ourselves that we have a God who cares, a God who is actively involved in our lives, despite how it might seem and feel at times. We have a God who desires that we, his children, find rest in him from the anxieties of life that we all face. That is the background picture of our story, our lives and our faith as God's people. You know, often in difficult times, and maybe even now, people often ask the question, where is God? And it's a good question, and we can maybe explore that at a different time and in a different sermon. But I want to say that often the better question is, particularly as followers of Jesus, to ask our question not so much where is God, but who is God? To remind ourselves who God is, particularly when we are going through difficult times. You see, it is easy to focus on the foreground, but we need to remind ourselves that that is not the whole picture. And when we just focus on the foreground of our lives, it's very easy to lose that eternal background perspective that helps us to put everything else in a better place. So first of all, we need to remind ourselves, or we need to get to know who God is and his ways. But secondly, we're also reminded in this passage by Jesus that we need to put God in his rightful place. Jesus' focus is to put God first and to seek his kingdom in our lives. Those kingdom values that are rooted in God. In other words, we're called to put God in the centre of our lives as a priority, believing in faith that everything else will fall into place. As we said earlier on in the service, ultimately this is an issue of our hearts. Which leads us to the third thing, which for me perhaps is the most practical of the teaching of Jesus in this passage, and that is, we are called to learn to live one day at a time. As we read God's story, it encourages us to take a long view of life and of faith. It's okay to plan for tomorrow, but if we worry about tomorrow, we're not enjoying today. And often in the process of that worrying, we miss the blessings of the day. You know, when I find myself worrying about tomorrow, I'm not living today well. We are called to live today well, trusting God that his new mercies that he promises each of us each day will be sufficient for this day and will be sufficient for tomorrow, those new mercies, which means that we don't need to worry about tomorrow, but focus on living in the present. which kind of leads us to the last step. I think that not worrying is linked to trusting God. If we go back to so much of God's story in the Bible, we will see that God's people have always been called to wait and to trust and to have hope. Those things are all incredibly hard to do, to wait and to trust and to have hope, particularly in times like this. But we remind ourselves as we read scripture that God's people have always been called to a place of trust and waiting on God. And we need to remember too that God has put his people, he's created us within community. You know, as I think about being Christian, as I journey with other people as well, sometimes I feel that there's a massive pressure on Christians to have that sense of remaining strong and putting a brave face on things, forgetting that we are meant to be part of a community, and part of that community means sharing together. Of course, if we are going to share the things that worry us to a certain extent, it might mean that we need to be vulnerable and open and honest about these anxieties that we have. But for me, that is part of what authentic faith looks like, being honest and open and vulnerable with others who are able to pray with us and journey with us and encourage us and maybe help us to have a different perspective. If you've been part of HBC, you might have had the weekly blogs which Sally and David Hoskins, and for me they've been incredibly helpful because they've had that sense of being honest and vulnerable and very authentic about faith in amongst all the difficulties of life, particularly that we find ourselves in at the moment. Well, to finish with, as I was finishing this talk, I read an article about the British sculptor Anthony Gormley, and he's created a new piece of art. If you don't know him, I didn't know him, but apparently he's the sculptor that created the Angel of the North, which I guess most of us will know. But the most recent piece of art that he's created is very, very small. If you've got the opportunity of going online and type in Anthony Gormley and his latest sculpture, you might be able to find it online. But it's a solitary hooded figure made of very dark clay who's resting its head clasped on bent knees with his shoulders and his head kind of on his knees, which are arms which are kind of clasped around his knees. And particularly if you look at his feet, you'll see that the toes are curled inward. And Gormley has kind of created this piece of art to reflect life during COVID-19. And the artist said this: "I wanted to make this self-contained body, looking at itself, at the resource that one has within oneself. A whole body like a clenched fist, internal and attending to within." You know, as I looked at the sculpture, it's a great piece of art, and I really liked it as a piece of art. But it feels that the sculpture as a whole is in complete contrast to what God is calling us to do. You see, Jesus is calling us to look out of ourselves and to look upwards to God, not with clenched fists, but with those who have open hands to receive from God. That we are not looking internally and the resources that we have, but we're looking at the background resources that we have as followers of Jesus. We're called to draw our eyes and our hearts and our life to remember, as we seek to live in the reality of the foreground, we're sought to remember the story, our story of the background, of God and his story, and how those two things are interrelated and connect together. Our foreground impacted by the background story of God and his love. Amen. As always, I encourage us just to take a moment. You might want to stop the recording and pray silently. But just to think about how God is calling us to apply these challenging words to our own situation. So let's just be still for a moment as we do that. Lord, we thank you for your word. Recognizing that your words contain lots of comfort, but also sometimes they're really challenging, and we recognize the challenge of that Jesus' words call for all of us today. But we pray that, Lord, you will help us to be those who are able to factor in, to learn more about who you are and that background story, in order to bring it into the foreground of our lives and allow it to impact our lives positively in the way that you always wanted it to do so. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is able to take your word and plant it deep within us, and allow that word to impact on our lives and on our situations. But as we prayed at the beginning, Lord, I ask that you will help us to be more than just those who hear this word and think it's a great word, but go off and don't allow it to take root in our lives and change our lives and impact them. But that we will be those who not only hear your word, but go and put it into practice and do it too. And so we pray, particularly in this time, that you would help us to bring into account that background story in order to influence the foreground of our lives at the moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a last song to worship with as we end the service. The second verse in particular reminds us that God is the God who stands from age to age, the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. But let me finish with this prayer of blessing. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, now and forevermore. Amen.